Happen podcast. This is episode 5 in season 2 and focuses on Shuhan Meng and colleagues' 2020 paper, Health First and Curriculum Reform in China, the experiences of physical education teachers in one city. This is an audio version of the Peppern blog that can be found at www.peprn.com. The idea of the 2020 Peppern blog is for me to read an academic paper and write a blog in no more than 40 minutes. 20 minutes reading and 20 minutes writing using the 8 headers below. Whatever emerges will then be published. The aim is to make paper reading and blog writing manageable whilst maintaining the integrity and usefulness of Peppern. The abstract and section headings. China is not alone in its concern about health, and this has led to an increase in policies and initiatives which either have a direct or indirect impact on education. This paper focuses on the Health First policy and its local impact on Chinese physical education teachers from one city in the north of the country. Health First, which aimed to transform the nation's health through national curriculum reform, was built on borrowed policies from other countries, but had complexities beyond the individual teachers' perceptions of what health is and what physical education's contribution to health and the ongoing education of the children in their care should be. The ways in which the Health First were taken up and responded to sit at the centre of this paper. The sectioned headings were National Curriculum Reform and Three-Level Curriculum Management, Health First and the PE and Health Curriculum in China, PEPE for High School Entrance, Methodology, Discussions of Findings, PE Teachers' Experiences of Curricular Reform, Teachers Negotiating Policies and Stakeholders' Priorities. Introduction and Conclusion. At the end of the last century, 1999, the Communist Party and the State Council of the Chinese central government made the decision that the entire school system would be based on the guiding ideology of Health First. This was put into place to address the growing concerns about the health of students of all ages and at all stages of education. Any health reform that came out of this edict must reflect the idea of Health First. In their efforts to enhance the overall health of their student age population, China engaged in a process of policy borrowing and national curriculum reforms that set out to change long-standing and systematic principles and practices. This paper set out to understand how both rounds of policy reforms in 2001 and 2011 affected the A, relationship between health and PE, B, the impact of policy borrowing on teachers' experiences of physical education, teacher education, PEET, and their continued professional development. In many cases, and China was no exception, policy reform is top-down and teachers are expected to straightforwardly implement these policies. The reality is very different. The prescription of A, educational objectives, B, curriculum content, C, teaching materials, and D, assessment approaches, ideas which in this case travelled from the West, are never merely implemented but instead had to be interpreted, translated and recreated. The lives of these teachers and education policy, practices and context all impact in the pattern and shape of these interpretations and enactment. The paper concluded that the Health First policy did not achieve the reduction in ill health the Chinese government had sought. The proliferations of aims, i.e. a drive to embrace decentralisation, increase school autonomy, the adoption of student-centred teaching and the development of critical and innovative thinking to support professional development and structural changes in education, exposed physical education teachers to significant reform that the teachers were not prepared for and which overwhelmed them. The origins of these complexities went beyond the teachers and their perceptions of health and change. This was made more so by the existing culture of an education system steeped in the focus on high-stakes examinations and the progress of students to the next level of education. It would be easy to portray the teachers as resistant and incapable of change, and that was probably part of the barrier to change. But the central pillar of resistance was the lack of resources to support change. Teachers were never fully prepared in their PEET programmes, and there were underlying concerns about traditional practices and teaching repertoires that made local reception, adaptation and appropriation difficult, especially when the ideas themselves were foreign. Tables and diagrams. There were three tables in the paper. Table 1 explores the core principles and objectives of the PE and Health curriculum and highlights the need to adhere to the guiding ideologies of Health First and promote healthy growth through the four main objectives of sport participation: sport skills, physical health and mental health, and social adaptation. Table 2 lists both compulsory and selected tests for the national standardised performance scores, with maximum scores and performance indicators for boys and girls. This includes 1,000 metre running boys, 800 metre running girls, standing long jump, and one of four tests: rope skipping, 1 minute, sit-ups, medicine ball throwing, 2 kilogram, and sit and reach test. Table 3 provides participant information and school context. The point of the paper. The aim of the paper is to move beyond the dominant Western lens on curriculum reform and explore what happens elsewhere. Somewhere we are not familiar with. The paper explores the consequences of importing Western ideas into Eastern practices and the challenges that teachers experience as they try to implement this huge national reform. This was a reform that went against their existing practices, and this had consequences with regards to what they could and wanted to achieve. The main arguments: that importing ideas and curricula piecemeal from other countries is a less than satisfactory means of changing practice and the positively impacting on the outcomes of school physical education. The ideas may be sound in other countries, but there is a difference between the hope and the happening in many different contexts, especially when the outcomes of school are straightforward. The importance of the paper. It is important to consider the somewhat familiar argument from a different perspective. Anything that de-Westernises knowledge and allows us to see into another culture, especially one as large and influential as China's, is a good thing. The lack of teacher blaming is also a move towards a more appreciative approach to research in physical education. The paper's contribution to my knowledge. Firstly, understanding curriculum reform in China. I was surprised that there was so much borrowing of ideas that I wondered at their fit in China, given what little I know. I also think it is important to understand that China faces similar problems to the West and goes about addressing them in similar top-down ways that don't include the teachers nor seek to upskill them appropriately. Summary of the paper in one or two sentences. Health is a problem in China, and the government went about trying to address this in the form of massive borrowed curriculum reform. This didn't work because of the contrast with existing practice and the differing outcomes that were important to the teachers and the schools where the change had to occur. Thanks for listening, and see you in a couple of weeks for the next 2020 Pepin podcast, where I'll discuss Hal Lawson's 2020 paper, Social Determinants of the Physical Education System.